Well, good evening. This evening we're going to talk a little bit about the work of the Spirit of God in our Christian living. And I think the title I put of the little summary was Garbage In, Garbage Out. You know, so if you have worldly stuff coming in, it's going to be worldly stuff going out. That's why God talks about the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It's all coming from the Lord. Now, it might be manifested through you, what you say or what you do, and that's very important, but it's not you. And the more understanding and acknowledgement we have that if anything good is coming out, if there's anything powerful, if there's anything that helps someone be convicted toward the Lord, to change their lives, to be convicted of sin, it's not how you're saying it, it's not you. It's the Spirit of God having more access to you, and so He can come through you. So, it's very, very important to understand that we're going to talk a little bit about what we are as compared to what we do. And I think it was Joyce Myers that said a long time ago, a lot of people have their who and their do mixed up. You mix your who and your do, and you need to be careful on that. We're important to the Lord no matter what your job is. You don't have to be rich to be important to the Lord. The world requires that sometimes. You have to be smart or articulate or acceptable in your dress and your demeanor. And none of that has anything to do with the Lord. I mean, those are just things of cultures and all that that's going on. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And what I want us to remember a little something is one thing to be convinced, and this happens to many people, of the need for a new life. But it's an entirely different thing to pursue that, to actually acquire it. And we've talked about this many times, and we've used the term, a lot of people have information about God in their head, but they've never really had a heart conversion. They've never had it go down into their heart, so they don't have that transformation. Information about God and the power of His Spirit is up in their head, but it's not actually a command center, so to speak, in their hearts. And it's very important that we understand that. You can't just talk about God or know about God. He needs to be inside, and that's by invitation only on your part. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Just let me in, and I'll come and dine with you. Wow. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings desires to come in. But because He's perfectly just, He can't force Himself in you. Because then that would be, He couldn't be perfectly good. If He made you do something, He couldn't be perfectly good. And if He didn't command some sort of judgment, then He wouldn't be perfectly just. So it's a lot of wonderful things going on that we don't understand as human beings. So, but He does give us indication of what we are to do. And I want us to understand that the fruit of the Spirit. This is kind of something that I was kind of understanding as I was going over some of these things. The fruit of the Spirit is what we are, not what we do. It's our character. Now, it's the basis for some of the things you'll do, but it's not the actual doing. It's who you are. And if you'll look in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, you'll see the list. We're all very familiar with this list. The fruit of the Spirit, meaning if the Spirit of God is indwelling in you, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, if the Spirit of God is indwelling in your inner being, and you have asked Him in to be your Lord and your Savior, everyone wants a Savior because they don't want their fanny in hell, but they very rarely want a Lord and a Master that actually guides them and leads them and tells them what to do. Well, it doesn't come separately. This is together. So if you really have brought Him in and said, here I am, Lord. Do with me as you will. Teach me your ways. Come into my heart. Remain with me. Show me what to do. Then the fruit of His Spirit in you. Because see, the fruit of the Adam nature, we already know that. You can go ahead and read that. That's also in there too, in Galatians. That's the factions, the dissensions, all the disharmony, the hatred, the lust, the murders, all of the horrible things. That's the fruit of the flesh. So to speak, those are the deeds of the flesh, the fruits of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is all the things we're looking for. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So powerful, so powerful. That's God coming out from you. That's not you. That's not your love repaired. That's not your joy repaired. That's not your patience repaired. The things of the Adam nature can never do what God's nature can. The Adam nature has to be crucified. Those thoughts, those feelings, those ideas, those things that come of the worldliness have to be put away. They have to be rejected. They have to be fought sometimes because they're still very, very strong. But there's not, I don't think there's anyone that could be on the planet that says they don't like love or joy or peace. You see, look at those words. That's the fruit of God's Spirit in you. But we have to let it come out. His kind of love will love people through their worst, even when they do bad things against you. Even that family that maybe wasn't as kind, you know, to Debbie. Inside, we want a justice for that. That's so wrong. That's so unfair. That's so unkind. We're not looking at things in God's love. We our joy kind of leaks out when the joyful circumstance goes away. When the thing that gave us the joy goes away, we're not joyful anymore. The person, the place, or the thing. That's not what God's talking about. His Spirit dwelling in you, those things are resident. You can call on them. When you're sad and when you're lonely, you can call out and say, God, I need your joy. I need the fruit of your Spirit to manifest through me because I'm depressed, because I feel badly, because things are coming against me, whether it's health or finances or responsibilities or relationships, whatever it comes under. We have a wellspring of the highest level of power of God within, and we sit here drooping like a half-watered flower. Sometimes it's just because we didn't know it, but a lot of times it's because we forgot it, because the circumstances are really hard, and they're really hurtful, and they're really real. I'm not brushing anything under the rug. The things that happen to us are powerfully difficult. Mark and I are involved in trying to help a young man, and boy, I'd say this thing is pretty naughty, and pretty naughty meaning like knots, K-N-O-T-T-Y, and pretty complicated and pretty layered. And here we spent, I mean, we're probably up into the thousands trying to help him get housing and bought him clothes and food, and now he's thrown out, you know, because of some suspicion of stealing money where he was staying. I mean, all this kind of stuff. Now, we got together for some prayer in regards to this, and there's no hatred in our hearts for this young man. We're not going to be foolish, but see, that's the kind of love that God has. He's willing to go the nth degree. If you fail, he'll still love. And that love means he's not having a hindrance between you and him. So you take any of these words, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, with God being the wellspring from where it comes, then you're going to be able to do what God says in his word. Otherwise, if the Adam nature tries to attempt anything that God says to do, it's going to fail. And the adversary loves that. The devil claps every time because he's going to get you connected to failure, meaning God doesn't work. I don't get what God's saying. Well, because you're trying to fix something broken with something broken. It isn't going to work. It has to be the Spirit of God that you give access to you and that you give access to have it emanate out from you. Now, there are some pitfalls ahead. You have to be very, very careful because we can get a little mixed up. Sometimes the spiritual gifts and sometimes your natural talent, you can sometimes think that's God's Spirit coming up and it's your own natural abilities. I mean, some people are just, they're so gifted on piano. They're so gifted on voice. And some of them have gotten way off course. There's some of our preachers out there. They're gifted with teaching. They really are. But then they've gotten off course. And they've fallen into sin. And they bring great disrepair, so to speak, to the word and to the ways of God. And we have to be so careful that we don't fall into those traps. And when we absolutely think of it, the Spirit of God in us, that's called the fruit of the Spirit. That's who we are. Now, some of you have experienced that. And people have said that when they've come in our precious little church. I said, I can feel the love here. They're not talking about just that somebody hugged you or greeted you or smiled at you and said, hi, welcome or something like that. They're not talking about that. Those things happen. That's the natural course of it. But if you're full of the Spirit of God and you're working a lifetime trying to get you out of the way and let God rule, that's the kind of love that people are going to feel. They're going to feel it. They actually are going to experience it, but we have to keep referring them back to God. And they're going to, you know, gee, I really learned so much when you were teaching, or when so-and-so prayed and I got healed and whatever. There's a tendency of the Adam nature to look at the physical human being that the thing came from. So we, if a gift of God should be coming through us, then what we need to do is to make sure we keep referring people back to God. That's something you got from God. He just happened to use me. He happened to use him or her. You see what I'm saying? Keep referring it in your own heart and mind back to God. That's a work of God. That's a work of God. Let's give him praise. Let's give him honor. Let's give him glory. It's so, so powerful. It doesn't mean God doesn't use people. He does. He uses people all the time. But don't get puffed up. We just had an ordination here last Sunday, and the old devil's going to be attacking you there, Ted, and trying to get you, get him back with your cane. You know, to bring temptation your way, to bring confusion your way, to bring ego your way, to get, oh, look what God did through me. Yeah, well, God worked through a donkey and a few rocks and trees and a few other things, so just be aware that it truly is the Spirit of God, the power of God. Now, the Spirit of God in us, there's a couple of things I want to go over, three or four points here. The Holy Spirit, when you come to know the Lord, he indwells you. And the reason there's an indwelling of it, that's his Spirit in there. There's a new nature of God. All you had was the Adam nature, and now you've got the God nature. God is not going to give us his nature and have us use it. Because we come with the Adam nature. It will not work. This is a God nature, and it needs to be run by God. So all of your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your actions need to come from the Spirit of God. Now, that's a hard thing to learn. You don't learn it overnight. Excuse me. It's a process. It's part of the journey that we have here. Excuse me. And if you turn to 2 Corinthians... I'm going to get there ahead of you because I've marked it in my scriptures here. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17, I don't ever want to share something with you that isn't what God has said in the scripture. So when I talk about the Holy Spirit indwelling you and having that new nature of God inside of you, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. We should be recognizing new things coming up from us. New ways to handle an argument. New ways to treat your husband or wife. New ways in terms of integrity. New ways in terms of speaking. New ways in terms of how you pray. These new things should be coming up on a fairly consistent basis. And they should be good. They should feel clean. It should be right. It should be good within you. That's God's Spirit starting to come out. And I'm going to tell you something just a little bit in the terms of difference between indwelling and filling. It's very, very important for us to understand that difference. And if you'll turn also to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:16 tells us something very, very important. And it says that he, meaning God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man.
Whoa.
So you see, God wants this. He wants you to have him inside. He wants you to let him rule through you. And by him coming out, that is going to have a massive effect on all those that you come in contact with. His Spirit makes it so that he could say, where you stand is holy ground. And that has nothing to do with you, because we are still weak. And the Adam nature will sin. And it makes it clear in the scriptures, if you walk by the Spirit, you cannot walk by the flesh. So every time you sin, it's not that Spirit of God and you sinning, because it cannot. It's you walking out from underneath his umbrella and going and doing what you want. You switch tracks. He says you have two warring things inside now once you ask the Lord inside. You've got two things battling back and forth, the Adam nature, the God nature. And it takes a long time on the journey to make sure that you put away the Adam nature and give access only to the Spirit and only allow the Spirit to come out. And we're not good at it, in the beginning especially. God will absolutely construct people, places, and things for you to practice. If you have difficulty in with patience, he will bring something along that will make you patient. Now, it's very powerful. It starts very young in our lives that we're impatient. Little Adeline is 4 years old, almost, before this month. And she's been waiting for a letter from her daddy. Her daddy's away on a trip. And she's waiting for a letter from her daddy. And we went to check the church mail today after I picked her up from school. And she said, "Did I get a letter from daddy?" And I said, "No, there's no letter here." And she goes, "But I want a letter from daddy." I said, "Well, sometimes it takes a long time, honey, with the post office to get here." And she goes, "But I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting." She must have said it 10 times. "I've been waiting for that letter. I want my daddy to write me." It was so precious. I mean, here she is. She's three, almost four. And she's sensing that. She doesn't have she can't right now. She's not of the capability, but she's being brought up in the ways of the Lord. But she can't have that peace. She can't continue in well-doing under this undeserved affliction, you know. So those are things that are going to be brought to her and shared with her, and God's going to give her many opportunities to practice patience. If you have trouble on the love level or the kindness level or the gentleness level, God will construct the circumstances where you'll fail probably 10 times and you'll be aggravated, but he's bringing these things into your life to see that you're not good in this, and you need to let go of you and let him come forth and show you the absolute difference. And anyone who has experienced this knows exactly what I'm talking about. Your level of love doesn't work. And when you have that God level of love come out, you go, "Wow, I never could have responded that way to that person, because the person that he or she always aggravated me when they said that or did that." And then it's not there anymore. You actually have a love. There's a compassion towards them. There's a wanting for their good result to come between them and the Lord. And that's only comes from the Lord. That does not come from us. Now, the Spirit of God in us, it's not only indwelling, it fills us, those that belong to the Lord. And this is something that I came to understand a while ago. People misunderstand that. A long time ago, it's like when you're filled with the Spirit, some people, I'm not going to get into a discussion on that right now, they consider a filling of the Spirit a separate experience from a salvation experience. And when you ask the Lord into your heart, he just doesn't put his foot in there. And then you come back later and he gets his leg. And then you come back later and you get another leg. And you come back later and you get another hand. God doesn't give you his Spirit in drips and drabs. You get the whole thing. God inhabits you. It's not a little by little type thing. You don't get more of the Spirit. You get every single portion of the Spirit. The problem is that we don't let it rule. That's why it looks like it's in drips and drabs. God keeps coming out more and more and more. More things are done by his Spirit. Decisions are made by his Spirit. Comments are made by his Spirit. Directions. I mean, all sorts of things start being run by his Spirit. So it looks like we have more and more of the Spirit, but it isn't. It's really, what? Less and less of you. So don't think that it's just, you're going to get, you know, later on I'm going to pray hard and have God give me more of his Spirit. When you have God inside of you, you have the totality of his Spirit and everything that comes with it. The process is getting us out of the way so that it can come out instead of us. And especially that God's Spirit would come out first, not after we've already messed it up. So when you look at the word, the word being filled really means more controlled, run by the Spirit. So you get all of the Spirit that you want. I mean, so in that way, he indwells you. But to be full, to be a filling of the Spirit, that means that you've got you out of the way. So it's him that keeps coming by and not us. But I'm talking about indwelling where God is in you and being filled where God is controlling. And I don't mean that in some fascist sense where you're a robot. I don't mean that at all. The control comes because you deferred to him. So I'm not saying he comes in and just controls you and moves your arms and your legs and your thoughts. He controls you because you give yourself over to the Spirit of God. And you constantly have to be doing that. I want your will, not mine. I want your thoughts, not mine. I want your desires, not mine. I desire to do your will, Lord. These kind of things should be on the increase in our lives every day. So, and as I explained previously, that's sometimes why we sin. It's never God sinning. It's us not giving in and deferring to God's nature, and the Adam nature comes up again, and that's why we sin. So the key to getting all this straightened out is obedience. Just obey God. Do what he said. Just do what he has said. He has given us guidelines and directions in the New Testament with the new covenant. We're not under the sacrifices, we're not under the temple, we're not under the priesthood, we're not under any of those things that were before Jesus. We have a new covenant, a new and living way, and that's with Jesus, his Spirit indwelling us, and him leading the way in which we must go. And in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." You know, I read that. I'm not going to have a sermon on that tonight, but I think of some of the music out there and some of the words and some of the things, even in some of the Christian circles, it's a little bit demeaning and it doesn't truly glorify and honor God. We need to be really careful. God talks about the fullness of his Spirit and to speak to one another in a godly, in a wonderful way. And as we go on and we think of this, also, the Spirit of God indwells. As we talked about, the Spirit of God fills, and you defer over to that. But the Spirit of God in us also sanctifies us. Wow. There's a holiness. There's a cleanliness. There's a oneness with God that comes with this entrance of the Spirit of God within. And if you read Romans 15, verses 15 and 16, please.
I got that one. But I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as my eyes are focusing here tonight.
Yeah.
Oh boy, here we go.
Get those glasses up.
But I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again because of the grace that was given me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, that my offering of the Gentiles might become accordingly acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. What Paul was saying was, he wanted whatever he did to be sanctified.
Yeah.
The words he was teaching, the model that he was, the examples that he gave. He was telling the people, this is the Spirit of God. My one desire is to have his Spirit come out and not Paul's Spirit. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:13.
That's me again.
Okay. We'll pray for your eyes.
But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth.
Amen. You see, God speaks to us through his word, and that's what we want to have an understanding of. Now, the Holy Spirit in us, it produces fruit. So it indwells, it fills, it sanctifies, and it actually produces fruit. If you let them come out now, if you defer yourself to him and continue to practice that, you're going to have the fruit. And the fruit we spoke about was earlier in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, etc. And also another thing I want us to understand, the Spirit of God in us, it imparts gifts. That Spirit of God brings forth. There's gifts that God has given with the fruits. It's so powerful. And they are to glorify God and to edify the body. Not you to make a name for yourself. Not for you to say, oh, every time you pray, something happens. Every time you pray, someone gets healed. Every time you speak, someone understands. It has nothing to do with you. This isn't about us. It's about Him. It's all about Him. He is worthy and we are not. We are unsanctified, unclean, and unholy. And He's been so glorious in His love to love us, to actually say, listen, let me come in and I'll be able to come out. If you let me in, I'll be able to flow out. And that's going to cleanse you as a side effect, and that's also going to cleanse those around you. It's going to lead, and it's going to teach, it's going to sanctify, and do all of the things that His power can do. So very, very powerful. And the Spirit of God in us, it teaches. My gosh, it teaches. That's why when you read those scriptures, sometimes you're going to go, whoa, I never understood that before. You start to see it clearly. You'll be listening to someone share the word. You'll be listening to someone teach something. All of a sudden it's clear. It's not the teacher. Oh, well, God has teachers for sure. But it's you tuning in on God. The Spirit of God teaches. And as we read and as we hear the word of God, we're going to do that. Would someone read John 14:26?
But the Counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you.
Amen. Did he say John was going to teach you all things? Did he say Paul was going to teach you all things? It's the Spirit of God that is going to teach you all things. And 1 John 2:24, whoever has that one.
See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father.
Amen. Amen. Now I'd like to just review real quickly, if we could. The fruit of the Spirit is what we are or who we are. And the gifts of the Spirit are what God has us do. And I made like a little comparison here. Now, you can see a list over here is called a list of fruits, is what you are. And a list of gifts, and it's what you do. They're not separate. They come together, and how they manifest is up to God. Now, the fruit of love, I'm not saying it manifests always as service and mercy. I'm just giving you examples. There's a gift of fruit, that's what you, a gift of love, I mean, the fruit of love, that's what you are. That's what you become with God's love coming out. Now, some of the gifts that you may do are service. People have gifts of service. There's some people that are always serving. Don't feel badly. I mean, God's given you gifts. Ask God to show you. What have you gifted within me? What have you had all that you've placed in me as part of your great tapestry that you have woven over all of the centuries and all of the eons and all of the people? What is it at this time and age? What is the gift? Hone it in me, make it right and proper, and have it come on out. Some people are just full of mercy. They give mercy. Miracles. Now, everyone wants the big time stuff. I want the gift of miracles. I want the gift of healing. Because those things are very obvious and evident. The other things are obvious, but they don't have the glamour and the show sometimes. Well, you can't go for that. I mean, Jesus, you know, washed the feet of his apostles as well as raise the dead. I mean, you know, he didn't pick one above the other. He did it all. And if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you and ruling in you, deferring to him more and more and more each day, then you're going to have the same thing. It's going to be big things and little things that come out. It's going to be powerful. You're never going to be too proud or too big or whatever to do a common thing. I mean, very often after our service in here, we don't have a janitorial service here. You know, you'll see Pastor Mark vacuuming. You'll see Dr. Shirley cleaning the bathroom, or you'll see me cleaning the men's room or something. You know, just like, it's just what you have to do. Nothing is beneath us. It is service, it is love, it is work, it is helps, it is God's Spirit. Let it come out and you'll be doing the most amazing things, and you won't feel badly about it, and you won't feel puffed up about it. Nothing on either end. It's absolutely powerful, powerful. Fruits of joy. There's some people more joyful than others, aren't they? Some people like to choke because they're always smiling. You know what I'm saying? But you don't know what their lives are really like. I'm sure they have their trials and their troubles. But some people are always, you know, oh, hi, how are you? God bless you. You know, whatever. That could actually be a little bit of God's fruit coming out of them, you know. And the same things with peace. But some of the things you're going to do in terms of exhorting and encouraging people in faith and in miracles, etc. Another fruit is patience. Another fruit is kindness. Another fruit is goodness. These are what you are. These are things. And it's not you. It's God's Spirit in you that's coming out more and more frequently, more and more powerfully. So much so that you should be saying, wow, that was great, Lord. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. That was wonderful. Because it's not who you usually are. It's not what you usually do. You actually enjoyed that fruit coming forth. You actually enjoyed that coming into whatever that fruit was. And when you're in the presence of God, there's nothing cleaner, nothing fresher, and nothing better. It's absolutely powerful. Now, some of the things that you might do with gifts would be like leadership, word of knowledge, wisdom. Some people are they're generous givers. Some people, God has blessed them with tremendous treasure, and He's blessed them with generosity. What I've come to find out, it just seems more that those that have more, sometimes they keep a lot of that really close to the old wallet. And those that have so little, they're so kind and so generous. They give. They've got two cans of beans. It's almost a guarantee they're going to give you one of them. And God will bless us when we let these things. So this is gifting of God's Spirit. And then the last one here, in terms of faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we understand these things. We have low levels of these, and we were born with them, but as the Spirit of God becomes more and more a part of who you are, this filling, giving over to Him, these things are going to come out more and more. The self-control issue. When you ask the Adam nature to start controlling lust, or start controlling greed, or start controlling any portion of who you are, it's going to fail. It's only going to go so far. But God's Spirit never runs out. It never, ever, ever fails. So that's what we want. And then again, some of the gifts, some of the things you do, teach or prophesy, distinguishing of spirits, various tongues and interpretations. And just to wrap it all up together, the Spirit of God, these are the things. It indwells you, and that has to be the first step. You got to ask Him in. And the filling really means Him being more and more of what you allow in you. And then He sanctifies. There's a cleanliness. His purity and power is so great. When He's coming out, nothing's stained. Nothing's dirty. It's going to be clean, how you think. The idea is going to be clean. The relationship's going to be clean. You're not going to be doing what some of the people are doing in relationships right now. Unbelievable what's going on. And it's certainly the Adam nature that's coming out. The Spirit of God produces fruit. It's what we are. It imparts gifts. It's what we do. It also teaches. And that is absolutely imperative, because with the broken Adam nature thinker, mankind has come up with the stupidest ideas on what a family is, how to run a business. I don't care what it is, what a church is. The Christian community has so many different denominations. Anyone who's not a Christian, they must wonder, what kind of a God is this? A God of confusion. Some places you can play music, some you can't. Some you can't wear pants, some you can. Some women they can't wear the makeup, some they can. This and that and forth, big church, little church. My gosh. That's man's mind trying to figure out how to worship God. And he said, they're down here arguing over who's right and who's wrong. He's up there saying, you're all wrong. Lay it out before the Lord and let the Spirit of God do what the Spirit of God knows to do best. And as we continue as servants in the Lord, dying to ourselves, crucifying the flesh, then all the more it's going to come forth. And I bless the Lord. God bless you.